Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Lord Jesus, how wonderful you are. Your grace. Lord, as we walk through the day, Father, with a love in our hearts for you and desire to serve you and surrender everything we are to you. It's your mercy and your grace, Lord. Oh, Lord, have your way in the service tonight. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come tonight. May you, Lord, especially look in our hearts tonight. Give us a special touch. Lord, straight from the, Lord, the bosom of heaven. Bless each and every one, Lord. The hour is so far spent, Lord. We have, Lord, as know in my life I have so far to run. Lord, may I redeem the time we have left. Bless us now. Strengthen us and encourage us. Meet every need is my prayer. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Are you thankful to be out?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. And turn with me in our capstone books. No? Yeah. Capstone books, if you would. Page 91. I'd like to start there. Just a little while. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage shall end. Oh, soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Oh, heaven's gates are standing.
Promise.
just a little while to stay here. Oh, just a little while to wait. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Oh, just a little more of trouble in this world so full of hate. Oh, then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gate. Amen. All saints, think about what he's got prepared for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 39. Amen. I'll have a new life. On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sing it. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stay. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Free from every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Raised in likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, what a hallelujah morning, when the voice of God shall sound. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Graves all bursting, saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life, amen. Oh, have a new home of love eternal, with the reading of God to stand. Be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Sing that last verse again.
Oh, what a hallelujah morning, when the voice of God shall sound. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, graves all bursting, saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the reading of God to stand. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Amen. Are you looking forward to that? Amen. Praise his holy name. Page one, the very first song in the book. Amen. Singing in Promised Land. Will you be singing, saints? Amen.
Walking in the land of story, holding to my Savior's hand. Living in the realms of glory, holding to his dearest land. I want to sit right down at my Savior's feet and hold to his nail-scarred hand. Sing and shout for a million years, hold to the promised land. and it's oh, hallelujah, singing promised land, and it's oh, hallelujah, amen, sing it again, and it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land, and it's oh, hallelujah, holding to the Savior's hand, oh, living in the holy city, walking on streets of gold, living in a brand new mansion, the half has never been told. I want to drink pure water from the river of life, where the flowers never die. Voices raise to praise King Jesus, amen. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, amen. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to the Savior's hand. Climbing up on Zion's mountain, hear the bells of heaven ring, ringing out the glory of Jesus, for he's the King of Kings. I want to meet my friends gone on before, up there on the golden strand, all join in a heavenly chorus, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to the Savior's hand. And it's oh, hallelujah, singing in the promised land. And it's oh, hallelujah, holding to the Savior's hand.
Amen. What a day that's going to be, saints. Hallelujah. Every voice will be singing. Amen. Glorifying him. Amen. What he's done for us. Praise his holy name. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up and take up the offering? That's the blessing. Oh, yes. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a life to shine so bright.
Kevin, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us tonight, Lord, to come into your presence and to come here and worship the saints of like precious faith.
Oh, yes.
Lord, to feel your presence here, Lord, and know you're absorbing our worship and praise. And Lord, how we've had a joy in our heart today, Lord, looking forward to this opportunity. And Lord, seeing that we have been given this opportunity in this life, Lord, here at the end of this Laodicean church age, Lord, that the people would see Jesus Christ living again today, that you would be living through us, Father, and that the works that you did when you was here 2,000 years ago, you're here now, living through the bride of Christ. And Lord, it just makes us so excited. And Lord, we just have such a joy and a longing and a pulling in our hearts, Lord, just waiting for your coming, Lord, to take us off this earth and take us from this wickedness. But Lord, we come to this portion of service, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would just meet every need in the elect's heart and their lives, whatever it might be, Lord. You know what it is. We just ask that you just meet it and just bless them, Father. Lord, bless our brother as he brings forth the word tonight. Lord, may we be hungry and be pulling, Lord. And just feed us, Lord Jesus, that word that we have need of. And we just give you the glory and the honor and praise in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise his name. You may be seated.
Glory.
Amen. You want a song tonight? All right. Does anyone got a song in their heart? Amen. All righty. Amos, you got something?
We need some little course just a closer walk with you.
Yes. Amen. Just a closer walk with him. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. Saints, is that yours?
Amen.
Closer walk. That's what we've come tonight for. Amen. Praise his holy name.
Amen. Thinking about that little song, do you realize how precious it is to be able to hold that type of desire in your heart? To have a desire burning on the inside, and it's a desire that don't stop. It's constant. Burning, just a closer walk with thee. That's where you carry it all during the day, regardless of what you're working on or what you're going with, who you're talking to. It's burning on the inside, just a closer walk with thee. You're constantly asking God to help me, Lord, to climb higher in thee, to walk closer to thee. Amen. That should be in our heart every day.
Amen. Amen.
Every day of our life should be a burning desire, closer walk with thee. Amen. This precious little song. Let's sing it, because that's why we come here tonight.
Yes,
take a closer walk with him. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing it as our brother comes forward this evening. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, great Jesus is my
just a
just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gathered here tonight, Lord, with that on our hearts, Lord, to draw closer to you, closer than we've ever been, Lord, and take us that higher step. Lord, as we've gathered here tonight, Lord, we've come hungry, asking you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, these few words that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, may it help us some way to help that climb, that's one step closer, Lord. Maybe increase that desire a little greater. Whatever we need, Lord, let it dip it into our hearts. Lord, that we would be pleasing to you in all things. And Lord, we ask it only to your glory and to your honor. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. So thankful. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. While you're still standing, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, if you would. Just a little thought on my heart. I was just praying last night and meditating on the Lord, and this message came to my heart that just kind of, and it was there again this morning, and as I got home tonight from work and got to looking through some more stuff, and just a small exhortation, but praying that some way it'll encourage us along the way and help us to press on and to move higher with God. Amen. But here in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and let's read that 16th to the 18th verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless his word. Just thinking about that as you read that. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And it wasn't just anybody that made that statement, but it was I, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. And I've never found him to say one thing that he didn't mean or didn't come true. But I was reading that where it says, come out and be ye separate. You know, I was just thinking of Abraham and a few different ones that were separate. And things, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And also the other portion of that is we're in a message, so-called believing age. But we're a portion of a bride, not just a message-believing group of people. And you know, as we see the time growing closer, and we see the messages that has come, and I pray that as the word has come over the last couple weeks, that we haven't just looked at it as one item. This one item is so wrong. Because that is, and don't ever lose the sight, but look at the message the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to the church. We live in an age to where everything has been made common. You know, I was thinking, I get hunting magazines. And you know, they run ads in some of them hunting magazines. And some of the pictures that's in those ads today, if 30 years ago, that magazine would have been took off the shelf for the stuff that they are allowed to use for advertisement. But it became so gradual, and it's become so gradual. And you know, I was just on a note to see how Satan has worked it. But a brother and sister was telling us that they had seen that when the bikini was first introduced for women to wear, and they brought it to the American people, and they couldn't find nobody to wear it. And they took it to the schools, to the little kids, and introduced it through the young ones, and then it became a way of life. And modesty is totally gone today because why? It's never been taught, and it's totally become gradual. It got worse, and the people begin to accept a little more, and they begin to accept a little more, and that's on the world side of things. But the same Satan has done within the church. He brought in a little creed. He brought in a little idea, a little bit of sin, and it began, oh, it's okay. We'll take that. And that opened the door for something else. And then that opened the door for something else till it takes the church away from where God wanted us to be. And it starts out so small, and you may say, oh, that's such a pitiful thing to, but you've got to look at how God views it.
God didn't send us here to be involved in anything in this world. He sent us here for one purpose, and that was to represent Him back to a nation. Now, as we're here, we have duties as human beings that we must partake of every day and do. And Satan knew that that was going to happen, and everything around us is his working to work against that little bride, to see whatever he can do to keep her from being what God said he could have in this age. And how we stand here tonight, each one of us, and do we see it that great that is my mind focused into the reason for which I am sent so perfectly in tune? Or do I just, I'm still coming to church, I love to come to church, I love to worship the Lord, but there's really not that desire of why am I even going to church? Why am I serving the Lord? Why am I living the way I'm living? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Has God spoke to you? But oh, I'd like to read here in the message, God's words calls for a total separation from unbelief, and just catch some of what Brother Branham was saying here. I want you to listen to him as he's speaking. And he says, this is paragraph 20 on page 3, and this message was preached January 21st, 64. He says, Jesus had constantly told us that there is a separation. And we find that the last thing that's predicted to the human race before that great and final day when we're to ascend into the presence of God, there will be a final separation. He will separate the sheep from the goats. God will, and continually has been separating and separating, and that's what he's doing tonight, and that's what he always does. You can see it in every meeting. He separates faith from unbelief. Amen. And he speaks out and he declares himself to those who will believe him and have faith in him. And as the words come to us the last few weeks, that's what it's been doing. It's been trying to give us a faith and cut out the unbelief that's in our lives. And we must see it on this level of what God is trying to do for us as individuals. And he says here, now we find out in number 6, he's going to talk about a Nazarite just for a minute. He said that's a Nazarite's call. A Nazarite call was to separate themselves from all the world to the word of God. That is a Nazarite call, separated. And we find out that Samson was a Nazarite unto the Lord. And he was separated by a sign. And this sign was he was to wear his hair long with 7 locks. And it was a sign of separation that he was called for a purpose. And that was to him. That was God's word to him. And I don't want to, he said, but I don't want to get started on that. But he says, but I think today when we see our sisters wearing long hair, as the Bible said they should, I think it's a Nazarite sign that they want to follow the Lord. And I know that sounds flat, but I want it to go home. And you could take that same word and to any sister that doesn't want to dress or present herself godly and holy, it shows where her desire's at. She doesn't have a desire in the inside to be a Nazarite. She don't have that calling in her life. But you watch somebody that's got the calling in their life, you watch their life try to conform to the best they can to what they understand of this precious word as it comes forth. He says, no matter what the price the world would say about it or how many scornful laughters, critics, that doesn't bother a person that's totally separated from the things of the world to the things of God. They'll obey the word and separate themselves from the things of the world because the word separates them. And I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The world always knows its own. But as I've said, that remember, criticism on the account of the word of God is only growing pains of his grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be a Christian, to act like one, to live like one, to obey every commandment of God. And it's a Nazarite vow to separate, a call from God that separates you from the things of the world. And I believe tonight that every man, woman, every boy, girl that's born of the Spirit is a Nazarite unto the Lord because they have separated them things, themselves, from the cares of the world and whatever the world has got to say. And you live in this city here where there is great schools, and we see our nation calling for a higher standard of education, which is all right, nothing to say about that. But that education cannot give you salvation. A scientist can split a grain of wheat and tell you how many different chemicals is in it, but it can't find the life that's in there. And an education can learn you and teach you mathematics, and it can teach you history and whatever more, but it cannot bring light to you. Your education will not do that. But God has one way of bringing light to you, and that's when you're ready to separate yourself from all things of the world, all of the cares of the world, and cling only to God's promised word. And my education can teach me what's written on these pages. I can read down these pages and quote it word for word. I can pick up that Bible and I can read it. And I can tell you what it says and I can see it. And my education of learning to read, learning to write, and the meaning of words, I can take a dictionary and I can sit down and I can explain to you the whole thing. But only God can bring the light of a revelation to us that in turn will reproduce a life through this body that will represent that there's life on the inside. And it doesn't matter how many tapes I listen to. That's good and wonderful if we do and read, but that's not what's bringing me light. But it takes God alone, and that call has got to be in our heart to reach out to Him. Lord, don't let me just hear this message, but Lord, open my eyes and my heart that I hear what you're saying to the church. Amen. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith. And oh, may we cry out that God will open our spiritual ear. We went along a long time being members of church, following a message, believing God. But have we brought it down to where it's just a closer walk with you, Lord, as we sang? Has it really come down to that point, to where my life is lived for my church, for word, not the church, but for being a member of that bride, and seeing that life totally come forth? Or as we say, we come to service about 3 times a week. Or is that my extent of church life? That's my extent of really serving God? Or does it go beyond that? How much? You know, let's see here. He says, but God has the cares of the world and clinging only to the promised word of God. And my saints, we must cling only to that. Amen. But I want to read here, he's going to speak about Abraham for a minute. And just catch this. This is in the message, Jehovah Jireh 1. And this is preached April 2nd, 1964. He says, but now a total separation from all unbelief. And remember, Abraham, the patriarch, was never absolutely fully blessed until he obeyed exactly what God said to do. And we will never, never be blessed any and have the blessings until we obey what God said to do. And another thing I want you to notice here in the 12th chapter, that the covenant was altogether unconditional. There was no strings attached to it. I have, not if you... That wasn't no ifs to it. I've already done it. He gave Abraham the covenant unconditionally. And now to know in the Adamic covenant, it was if you don't touch the tree, then I'll do so and so. But if you do, then I'll have to do so and so. See, it had a law attached to it. But in the covenant, I've already made you a father of many nations. And it was all unconditional. The covenant is purely grace, just absolutely grace. The only thing he had to do to maintain that covenant was to stay and abide in the land. And that sounds easy. Oh, it was grace. It was all grace. That's easy to say. But look at to maintain that, God had already given it to him. But he said, but to maintain that covenant was to stay and abide in the land, and every blessing went with that covenant. It was within him. The only thing they had to do was to stay in that land. And we find out when Egypt went out of there, they lost their blessing, not their covenant. The covenant was still there. But they lost their blessing, not their covenant, because the covenant was grace. Mm-hmm. But they had to maintain and stay and abide in that land. And I was reminded of what Brother Branham said in the token. Full obedience to the entire word of God will entitle you to the token. And with that token comes every blessing that's in that Bible. Full obedience will entitle us. You got a sickness and you need healed, go to God in prayer and watch him meet it. Full obedience to the word, no condemnation in your heart, nothing to hinder us. And that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to show us and stress to us. We've got to get to a place where we're not part of this world. We're separated. We're separated from the typical belief of just being a follower of this message. And I understand all mysteries. That's wonderful. But is God's life being projected through me? Do I understand? You might be able to take that Bible and fully explain in black and white the changing of the soul. But has it happened to you? Have you seen the results of what it can do in your life? Have I seen that in my life? It's to all of us. Saints, as we're standing here tonight, there is a closer walk, a higher place to reaching God. And the only way to get there is to truly die out to ourselves and to separate and to get away from our common mind and thinking of how we want to do things. And what we see in life, we get so focused in on life, and we're missing our goal that God has set us here for. Amen. And we see the dark days approaching. We see the condition the world's getting in. But am I getting more into that condition of where I need to be? Is the Spirit dealing with my heart? And I see that closeness. It's an individual affair. Not everybody in here may make it, but there's going to be someone, right? And somebody's going to have that in their heart so great. Someone else may look at you and say, you fanatic, you've been in church all your life. You don't need nothing. You've got it. But there's a higher height for every one of us. Each one of us has got a higher rung that we haven't reached. Someone over here may have been pressing harder than I have been, but they've still got higher rungs. Maybe I've been pressing harder than someone else, but I still have higher rungs. We must reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. And it must be a desire within our heart not to be made to be forced or have the word just come continually, this and that. But there should be something down on the inside of me that longs that the Lord let a man examine himself.
Amen.
Examine our own selves and find our lackings and see our need to climb higher. To see where we're at. I can tell you need to climb higher. I can tell you I need to climb higher. But if God don't dip it down in my heart with a reality,
Amen.
It'll never take me another rung higher.
Amen.
But it's got to be an individual affair. And it's got to be to you personally that you've been called to this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to remind you to our something, our purpose. And that was the whole thing. Every example you can look at Paul, Moses, Samson. They all were separated. They had to separate from something to take the promise that God gave them. Samson had to separate himself from all that he had been in touch with. Moses separated and left all of Egypt. The Apostle Paul left great fame at the time to take what he had. But he'd give it all away to obtain that pearl of great price in his life. And you know, I wonder if we're willing to do that. To sell out, to give all. As you look at the disciples, as Jesus called them, come, follow me. And they all dropped what they were doing. There was something down on the inside of them that was predestinated to drop what they was doing and follow after him. When he called, they took right off. And they took to following that word at that point until he come to the point of the day of Pentecost. But we've been called. Each one of us, as we said here, there's got to be a purpose in our life. There's some reason I'm coming to service. And I want to remind us of what Brother Branham said here in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Preached July 28, 1963. And this is page 51, paragraph 373. He says, listen now. Now just pinch yourself a little and watch. What was Jesus manifested for? And I just read this not too long ago, and our brothers read it many times. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come. He that was. He that is. And he that is. He that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days. And when he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church, Jesus said, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose. And there was the manifestation. And today he wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the word. And do we so see it today, our purpose? Has it been made that real to me of my purpose in truly being here? That's why I'm here. I might have children along the way. I might have a wife along the way. But my purpose in life was that Christ would have the preeminence in my life and bring me to perfection of that stature of Jesus Christ. And along that way, I might lose a child here. And maybe halfway along the road, I might lose a wife. Or I might lose a mother and a father, a brother, a sister. And it's painful to the flesh, but he said, who do you love the most?
Amen.
And oh my, when you look to see, have I so seen it that it doesn't matter anymore in this life? Homes, lands, jobs, whatever. My purpose and my goal in life is to serve Jesus Christ and him only.
Amen.
And for him to have the full preeminence in my life, that he would be glorified. But And he says, but see, Jesus so seen it and was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. And today it will be the same in the bride, for they're one. They're becoming one. Every expression that they make will be Jesus Christ living through their body, expressing back out loving, kindness, brotherly kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. All the many things that's laying in this word. As a housewife, I'll be a diligent housewife. As a husband, I'll be a diligent worker and a provider for my family. As a brother at church, I'll be diligent in my duties. I'll be diligent in all that I do because the word tells me to be so. But that's what the revelation does. It brings it to a point to where you don't need someone else pushing you and prodding you. But the Holy Spirit does the pushing and the prodding from the inside. But sometimes we become like Samson did before they put his eyes out. He lost his vision of what he was sent to do. And he let stuff sidetrack him and he got off track. But God had a way of bringing him back and putting him back on track. And that's what the Holy Spirit, I believe, he's trying to catch our attention and say, look, get back in line, get back on the path, because it's not that much longer and I'm going to come and take you home. And I believe God's trying to get our attention. He's wanting us to get in line. You know, we went a long time just being churchgoers. We went a long time, things happened, this went and this came and that would go. But now it's come down to a point where God is looking for someone that'll be just that. They'll so see it that he will be their all in all. And everything will mean more to them. This is in the message just one more time, Lord. Brother Branham preached on Samson a lot there when he's bringing his messages out. But listen, as he says, now Samson knew that he didn't have any strength. And he had the muscle, though he had the muscles. And we've got all our machinery. We've got the great district presbyters, and we got all the bishops, and we got the archbishops, and we got the popes. We got the hierarchy. We got all the machinery. We got the buildest, biggest buildings, most of the money of the earth. And what good does it do us? It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's right. But we know we're not able to meet the challenge of the hour. And we've got all these messages. We've got the Bible. We've heard about a prophet, but we can't, without God bringing the light of his word to us in a full manifestation and a reality of a revelation of what the new birth truly is and what it'll do, and taking God at his word and knowing that what he said it'll do, it will do. Amen. And not go on ourselves thinking, I am born again, or I do have a change of the soul, and my life won't turn and come a subject to the word. I'm still struggling every day. That's not the right way. God said that body would hear the word and quickly turn to it. And that's where we must look and see. We must examine ourselves. Not me examine you, but let you take the word and examine yourself and let God deal with your heart. As he goes on here, he says, and Samson knowed what he needed. And we might turn the whole of America back and every one of them go to church, and we still haven't got it. God hasn't got what it takes. The disciples didn't have it till they went to Pentecost, and Jesus told them they didn't have it. And after they've been preaching for 3 years, they needed it. The church needs it, that's right. Notice Samson knowed that he was in need. And he wasn't sufficient, and the denominations can't produce it. They don't vindicate the word, they teach against it. And you know, but Samson realizing that he was insufficient in himself, though he had all his regime, he still was insufficient watching him. And the Philistines gloating over their victory, they never noticed him turning his head upward and his lips moving back and forth. And how the devil gloats when he sees that he's got us tripped up and he's got us into things. And oh, he's just a gloating, but there ought to be a challenge rise in our hearts to put him in his place and to see him cringe and to run and to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And as he said in the Bible there, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Oh my, does our name associated with God being in us make the devil tremble? Or are we just a pawn that he can do what he wants and we don't have no power over him? But oh, may we cry out that he would totally give us what we have need of. As he says here, he said, the Philistines gloating over the victory, they'd never noticed Samson turning his head upward, his lips moving back and forth in prayer, the tears running down out of the sockets that had once been eyes. They didn't notice that. They was having too big of a time, and he wanted God to manifest himself again to this Jezebel. And oh, if we could have some Samson rise. Oh, church, not a new denomination, start another creed or a latter rain. We need the power of God. That's right.
Amen.
He was aware of what would happen if God ever answered his prayer. He knew it meant his natural life.
Yes.
But he was ready to face the issue, and he was dead earnest. Oh, if the church tonight would only stand in that condition, in dead earnest,
Amen.
Knowing that you're going to have to give up everything you hold dear in this world. If men and women are ready tonight to know it's going to separate you from everything of the world. But are you willing to die? Oh, my. And that's a question we must each one ask ourselves. Am I truly ready to die out and let God take over my life? Am I tired of fighting? Am I ready to yield and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I've seen it, Lord. I've had this word for many years, and I still see I'm lacking. But I need you to give me what it takes, Lord,
Amen.
To make this word live 100% in my life.
Amen.
Is that the cry of our hearts? I pray it is. I pray it means more every day. But don't lose sight of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Because he's working all things. Let's just turn here to Romans the 8th chapter.
Amen.
Romans 8, you can read it with me. It's a simple verse, but you probably know it by heart. Romans 8 and 28.
Yes, amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And no man can come to me except the Father drawing. And if there's a drawing down on the inside of me and a desire to reach higher heights,
yes.
then I know where that desire comes from.
Amen.
And if it's a drive and a thirst and a passion to know his will, that didn't come from Satan.
Amen.
But God placed that there. And by God's grace, he said that
Amen.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Amen.
But God's called a people. And maybe we've been a people that's been slack in what we've been called to do. But there's something down on the inside that's churning, that's burning. Lord, I've never given it my all, truly. I've never reached out and let you have my all my life. But Lord, I'm here tonight to give it to you.
Amen.
Are we to that point? That, Lord, take me in your hands and do with me what you will.
Amen.
Oh, my saints, I pray it's burn. Let's turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter. And the third verse of the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. And without blame before him in love. This is why we were chosen. Listen to what he's telling us here. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. My, we ought to be so thankful. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And if you truly can see that you've been called and that this is the purpose in your life that you've got to reach, how great it is to know that he's made the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And oh my, he's going to gather us in one of these days. And may we be ready. In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And oh my, saints, as we travel this road, sometimes the bumps and the bruises along the way, we may wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, why did it? But the Lord knows what we have need of, and he knows how to get our attention.
Amen.
And he knows what it takes to get us to pay attention. And how we should be so thankful that if we can see that God is drawing us to a closer walk with him, through the word, we can see the closeness of the hour. There's so many that's following this message that think they're so right. They think they've got what they need. They're following on. They're moving on with God. And they don't realize the little things that they're letting creep in that's taking them away.
Amen.
and bringing that lukewarmness back into their life. Yes, they still pray. Yes, they may still preach. They may still travel to meetings every chance they get. But they're letting a coldness creep into their lives that they don't see. And they may look at a little bride over here and say, oh, they're just sincerely wrong. And that little bride, maybe God's revealed the word to that person. And they may be against what's the contrary, the popular belief is. But God knows what he's doing. And God's going to have a bride that will stand there spotless, without blame and love, and show forth his characteristics in all things. Love, yes, there'll be love in their life. There'll be strongness against sin. You'll see all of those characteristics displayed through that people. All my saints, may we be a people that'll cry out greater. Lord, here am I. Open my heart. Open my understanding. And may we come through those doors every day with that in our hearts and in our mind. Lord, let me grow closer to you. As I pick up these messages and begin to read, it's not just so I can say I've read a message, not just so I can say, well, I know what Brother Branham said in the book so-and-so. But there will be something that will jump out off of those pages, maybe a line, maybe a word, that will jump out and make a transformation in my life that I needed. That's what it's about. It's a life-changing event when God can show you and reveal his word to you. And it will bring a change in your body, in your mind, your life. The way you handle every situation will be different. If God shows you how to do it. Amen. You know, it's just like you can learn everything in life. You can buy a book on parenting. You can buy a book on this. You can buy a book on about everything you want to do. But when God will reveal to you through this what parenting is, when he reveals through this what all of these other things are that we should be, you watch it work 100% and there ain't no trying. And, oh, let me go back and see what it says about this situation. But when God reveals it, I'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Amen. And you watch it work to his glory and to his praise. Amen. My, we're a blessed people. Amen. Amen. Why don't you sisters come to the instruments if you would. But I pray you got something from it. Something to think about, study on, pray about it, and ask God. The Holy Spirit's moving, and he don't move for no reason. And he don't tone us up and put us in line for no reason. But oh my, may we take heed to the Spirit and watch. Amen. You know, so many people have got away. They don't know how to watch the moving of the Spirit. They don't know how to see when God's moving. And they don't know what it is to feel the Holy Spirit move through them, the building even, and deal with people's hearts. Yes. But oh, may we be a people that just becomes like a sponge. Whatever God wants to do, we can just soak it up and absorb it. And let him have his way. Amen. Amen. You all can stand if you would. I know I didn't see what time I started. Amen. Just like to sing that little chorus as our brother comes. I am blessed. Amen. Amen. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen.
I am blessed.
Saints, when you can dig into that precious word in you and you see the word express the follies of the human race and the beings that we are, but when you can see God lay out the plan and God dip it in our hearts God, give us a desire to grow. God, give us a desire to press on. And Him to give us the word to meet that. That in all this, we'd be to His good will and pleasure. Oh, we're such a privileged people. But I love Him. Amen. You know, He's always mindful of us. He's always here. And you never leave disappointed. Oh, you know, when you get in His presence, it's just so sweet. And you can feel Him come around. Oh, my. I just wished everyone could feel that just one time. Just feel Him taking you in His arms. Oh, He's so precious. Oh, we ought to serve Him so great. You know, it's wonderful to see people get under the anointing and dance in the Spirit. And you know, you see that a lot anymore. Out of the evangelists, that's what you hear. Oh, they were fire and they ran all over the pulpit and they jumped here and they jumped there and they ran here. But what about the stillness or the sweetness of the Holy Spirit doing the work? What about that where it just moves through the building and there's a hush and a sweetness? Oh, saints, God is real. He's alive and He's anxious to show and express everything of His attributes and His beings. But oh, are we ready to let Him? Are we ready to die totally out to this world and let Him truly take us in His hands? Oh, it's a closer walk. A lot closer than we've probably ever experienced. But oh, Lord, here am I pray. Lord, let it be to me. Oh, my, that He could do what He wants. Amen. As our brother comes, let's sing that little chorus. He is here. Amen.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again.
Softly, and I want to read something to you to renew your minds to after what Brother Timothy spoke on tonight. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know His word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it's cooled off and become a bit formal. That is what was happening back here to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The the abandonment to God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. That second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like the other nations. Then they did that. They rejected God. But they did it anyhow. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until they see them stop doing things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitude, and their behavior. They get lax. And that is what Ephesus means, relaxed and drifting. That cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall this last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians, went to church and prayed all night, took the street corners, weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshiped in homes or old store buildings. They had reality. But it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches, and they put in a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves. And they put gowns on the choir, and they organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. They let down the bars, and the goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the Spirit was gone. Oh, they kept on reform, but the fire had died down, and the blackness of ashes is about all that is left. A few moments ago, I mentioned that John understood what it was to love God. That great apostle of love would certainly see it when the church began to lose that first love of God. In 1 John 5:3, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word." And one little deviation from that word was a step away from Christ. People say they love God, and they go to church, and they even shout and rejoice and sing and have a great emotional time. When it's all over, watch and see if they are in that word, walking in it, and living in it. If they go through all the other and then don't walk in that word, they can say they love God, but their lives tell another story. I wonder if John didn't see a lot of that before he died. People saying they love God, but not obeying his word. Oh, Ephesus Church, something has happened to you. Someone is trying to either add to that word or take from it. But they are doing it so subtly that you can't see it. They haven't made a move so big you can see it out there in the open. It is undercover, and they are bringing it by the way of reason and human understanding. And it will take over unless you refuse it. Go back to Pentecost before it's too late. But as usual, people don't heed God's warning. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things in this church age book, which is where I read from. It has a lot of very types of what he's saying here is what's happening today. And I trust by the grace of God, we will not be caught up in becoming a form.
Amen.
Of what we do.
Amen.
Where we think we have to do a certain thing regardless of what the Holy Ghost is wanting to do. But may we all find that place, every last one of us, that place in Christ that we can be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And our lives would be expressing every move that Jesus Christ once expressed.
Amen.
And as a body of Christ, together here in this little building, my prayer is that every one of us will find that. And my prayer is that every individual in this building will find a place in Christ with a new birth, walking in Christ and Christ in them, that they will be completely led by the Spirit of God. That's my prayer. That's my desire. That's the hunger that burns in my heart, to see every one of you like. So heed to the words that Brother Timothy brought tonight, because it's very important. Very important.
Amen.
It's reality. It's what God is looking for in every one of our lives. You know, it's, and yes, the world has all kinds of things offered to try to distract us. But don't be foolish. Don't be foolish and grab onto all this nonsense that's going on. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You set your eyes on Jesus and look forward in his wonderful face.
Amen.
And the things of this world will truly grow strangely dim. Oh, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. But I know he's here again tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I feel his presence. He's just so wonderful, so glorious to serve him in this wonderful hour. You know, as the song we sang, I am blessed. I truly feel I'm blessed.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so blessed. I think that many times when I walk in on the job and all the men's got this on their mind and we're tore up about this or they're mad about that or they're fussing with their wife and just all kinds of things. And I can't help but to think so many times, I am blessed.
Amen.
I stand here with the desire to serve God by his grace. Oh, and that desire to draw closer to him by grace. Amen. I'm so thankful. I am blessed. I wake up in the morning till I lay my head at rest. I am blessed every day. Amen.
Amen.
Trials? Sure, we have trials. Amen. But I am blessed to be able to go through these trials. I am blessed to be able to overcome and become more like Christ through these trials. Amen. I am blessed that if I do get trapped, the blood of Jesus Christ is there to cover me and wash my sins away. I am blessed. Aren't you blessed?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we're a blessed people. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to this time now again, to the close of another service. I can't help but to think again, Lord, now here we have gone through another day. And each one of us, as we rose this morning and begin to put one foot in front of the other and begin to face the day. And Lord, only you know exactly what each one of us done this day and whether in some way we was able to glorify you or you have the preeminence our brother spoke of, Lord. A place in our lives that you led us by the Holy Spirit. You're the one that knows all these things. But Lord, we realize now this day is just about gone for us. And Father, we'll leave here and through your mercy and grace, we'll make it home. And then we'll lay our head back down again to rest. And Father, there's no way we can gain this day back. For now, when we lay our head down to rest, this day has become history. And there was another page written of what we did and who we was. But Lord, your word tells us we're to be written epistles read of all men. And what did people read of our lives today? What did they see? Oh God, I pray that somehow the only thing they've seen is Jesus Christ. So help us now, Lord, for tomorrow. If tomorrow should come and you should tarry, and if we should live, may, Lord, the page we write tomorrow be truly Jesus Christ. Be written epistles read of all men, that again they would see Christ living. We ask now that you would do that and help us to find that place with you. Give us a greater desire, Lord, a stronger burning to be just like you, to truly have that fervent desire to please you, that passion to know your word. May that truly be in our hearts to have a cry to reach out in the Spirit. Grant that, Lord. We ask it now in your glorious, wonderful name and for your glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that chorus again. Help me on this turn. Amen.
He is here. Hallelujah, he is here.
last year.